CliffCentral.com. Yes, it's Monday. It's Monday morning. CliffCentral.com. We're here to look after you, take care of you. Leanne Moll is at the helm here with Sia Sangweni, Ben Karpinski, and Nolohili, and me, your host, Dennis. What's it? Lloyd. Never mind.
Dennis, you forgot to mention the air conditioner. It's as big a part of the show as anyone.
Yeah, yeah. There's a very powerful, loud air conditioner. I don't know why the thing's on high. Let me just turn it down and then it doesn't need to.
I thought I'm the only one.
System guests loud. The air conditioner.
Okay. Yeah, let's. You know what? We put Benedict off earlier. He called us especially to talk about something and then we put him off. So yes, call Benedict. And while you're getting him on the line, there are a couple of things that we need to discuss. I don't know if you saw this, but it's a big story. In the U.S., Judge Brett Kavanaugh has been confirmed for the Supreme Court, and it's got a whole lot of people crazy. I posted a thing over the weekend of a whole lot of people just losing their minds outside the court. It's a bunch of lefties who are just, they scream and they shout and they bang the doors of the Supreme Court. They really are going mad. I'm going to play it for you, just so you can hear the audio. By the way, these are grown adult people that I'm about to play for you. Yeah, things didn't go their way in terms of their political candidate not being able to choose the new justices for the Supreme Court. By their political candidate, I mean Hillary Clinton, because Donald Trump's the president, so he gets to choose who goes onto the Supreme Court. And here they are outside the Supreme Court. Shut him down, is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
And then this woman bangs on the door with both fists. It's a big wooden door. And she's crying and screaming. And others are just like showing their fists. She's scratching the door with
her
nails.
She's trying to open it with her. Oh my goodness.
And like really just like getting cross. Like
they're
really
going to have like fractured hand bones.
Really just going crazy, and this is all because, look, here's what happened. I'll give you the very brief synopsis. So Trump nominates this guy Kavanaugh.
Do we know on what basis do we...
Well, he's been a judge for 12 years. He's been a lawyer for 24 years, so he's got a long career in the law. Mm-hmm. He's certainly qualified to take a post on the Supreme Court. There's no... Nobody, no Democrat, no Republican raised any issues around his qualifications or his experience. Their problem with him is political. For the last 60 to 70 years, the Supreme Court in America has been a tool used by the left to change the law. They used the Supreme Court, which was loaded for the longest time towards the left by justices who were very interpretive and did not consider themselves textualists when it comes to the Constitution. So they allowed the federal government to change things like the abortion law, which, I mean, people like me are in favor of. I think that women should be able to choose whether or not they'd like to have an abortion, and that right is something which obviously was not thought of by the founding fathers of the United States. But for whatever reason, The Constitutional Court's equivalent in this country, their Supreme Court in America, became a political institution. And it was largely because of the left. They decided that's a place that they can change the law, and they have through Roe versus Wade, which is the most important case in respect of abortion in America, enabled women to, at least in a federal sense, be able to seek an abortion if they wanted one. The states still get to decide because America is a federation.
Okay.
It's not a republic. And because of that, there's been this to and fro on the Supreme Court. There are only a certain number of judges. A certain number of them are appointed by, you know, Democratic presidents. A bunch of them are by Republican presidents. The fact is that over time, that court has gone from left to right, and now the leftists who made it into an institution that changed the law, not just interpreted the law, are now crying because the right have the Supreme Court. There are more justices now who've been appointed by Republicans than by Democrats. Trump is going to probably be able to appoint three, which would be a record. The last president, I think, who appointed three was probably Reagan, and maybe even before that. So he's already put Gorsuch in. Now he's going to put Kavanaugh in. And then he'll probably also get another one because Ruth Bader Ginsburg is not going to last very long. She's a billion years old.
Oh, shame.
And that means that it's going to go very much to the right.
In terms of a hierarchy or the structure, where does the Supreme Court fall in terms of the president?
Okay. America has three branches of government. Okay. We do too. There's the judiciary, there's the executive, and there's the legislature. The legislature is parliament. In America, they call it Congress. Mm-hmm. They make the laws. They sit in the parliamentary chamber. They debate issues. They have committees and subcommittees. And then they decide what the law should be. That's how you get a Criminal Procedure Act. That's how you get various changes to the tax law. All of that stuff happens in parliament. They make the law. And in America, it's called Congress. And there are two houses in the American Congress. There's the House of Representatives, Congress proper, and then there's the Senate. And the Senate is where they're the second chamber. So it's based more or less on the English system. We have a House of Commons, House of Lords. In South Africa, we have members of parliament, and then we have members of the provincial, what is it called? The provincial assembly or whatever it is. So we've also got two chambers of parliament. Then you've got the executive, which is the president, that's the White House, and his administration, the secretaries of state, the secretaries of the military, his cabinet, effectively, who then they run the country according to those rules that are set by Congress.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the judiciary, which is meant to be an interpreter of those rules. The judiciary, the courts of law, independent from the executive and the legislature, they decide how to apply the law. They make sure that the law is clear, that in cases where people have disputes, they can determine what the law would say they should do, and that's what courts all over the world do. So they're three separate areas of government. They've all been politicized. Obviously, you vote for your representative in the legislature. That's very political. In the executive, you have a presidential election in America, which is interesting because we don't have that. They don't have that in most Western democracies. You just have one election. That election is to determine, which party. And then that party elects their president. In America, they have a separate presidential election.
So in a perfect world, these three components should be working together.
Checking on each other. So in other words, if the president's behaving badly, between the judiciary and the legislature, they should be able to sort him out. Similarly, if the judiciary is behaving badly, the president and the legislature can deal with it. And if the legislature is being bad, the executive and the judiciary can sort them out. It's called a balance of power. That's ideally how it should work. Anyway, this guy's now in. Despite the Democrats' attempts at every stop to make him look like a gang rapist and a drunk and a person of bad character, and it's failed. The FBI investigation, which they demanded, was granted, was given a week. The FBI obviously came out with no conclusion, because that's what an FBI investigation does. And despite all the noise and a lot of skullduggery and some pretty ugly political shenanigans behind the scene, which also involved some poor woman called Dr. Ford, who was brought out and made to testify about an event that happened 36 years ago, She was very credible. She was very believable. It turned into a debate around, do you believe her? Or do you believe him? Is it part of the Me Too movement? Nothing to do with whether or not this guy should be a judge. And then what happened was he got, he's been appointed. He's been voted in by a very narrow margin. One Democrat voted for him. All the other Republicans did. One Republican didn't vote for him. So it was, it was very bizarre because the one Republican from Alaska, a female senator from Alaska, didn't want to vote for him, and one male Democrat from Virginia did, and now he is on the Supreme Court.
Hmm.
So there's the short version of quite a complicated story. Anyway, this is why people are banging on the door of the Supreme Court. Let's go to the calls. Benedict? Hello? Yo, Benedict.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Sorry I cut you off earlier. What do you got on your mind, man?
I wanted to, have you ever thought about accidents?
Accidents?
Yeah.
What about them?
That everyone who has an accident happens to be listening to the same kind of music.
You reckon that the kind of music you're listening to could cause accidents?
Yeah, man.
What kind of music?
Maybe rock, something like rock, something that's too metal.
We did have a discussion about this the other day with George Meany.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind, Dory. What if everyone has an accident?
I don't think there are that many rock fans, though, because there are lots of accidents.
There are a lot of accidents that don't involve people who you would think were rock fans. Nolo, you're a rock fan. You agree? Hang on, let me just get Nolo on the line here so you can hear what she has to say, because she's looking very pissed off with you at the moment, Benedict. Yes, Nolo?
I listen to heavy metal, and I've been driving for over 5 years, and I've never crashed in my life.
There's the stats.
There we go. Those are the stats. That's
not that every time you listen to the music, you're going to get a crash.
But you think
it's likely.
Greater chance is what he's saying.
Huh?
There's a greater chance, you're saying, that the music can make you crash.
Hello?
Some music may cause you to headbang as well.
Yeah, no, it's a bad line. All right, let's go to Simba.
That said, Leanne, they did not crash the car in Wayne's World, did they? Somehow.
No, more statistics.
How did that happen?
That's right. Okay, Simba, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time no talk.
Yeah, you're on Skype from San Diego, right?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Did I give a decent enough explanation of how the balance of power is meant to work in America, or did I screw it up?
No, that was perfect. That was actually perfect. And
thank God.
You gave a pretty succinct description of what happened with the whole Kavanaugh thing.
Pulling
as well.
That right out of my ass. I'm really relieved. Thank you.
Not too bad.
All right. So what's up, Simba?
Not much, man. Hey, so, you know, one of my favorite analysts that you have on is Simon Allison.
Mm-hmm.
And I love listening to a lot of the stuff that he says. But, man, on the Trump stuff and the U.S. and the U.S. economy stuff, I was just shaking my head. Like, you got to be kidding me. Because, you know, I talk about politics with my friends a lot and how the media covers it. Like, you watch CNN and all these guys and they go nuts. And it is so hard for me to just wrap my head around the fact that people don't give Trump credit for the economy. I mean, the economy is really, really doing well. And he said, you know, it's all concentrated at the top. But, I mean, anyone that wants a job can get a reasonable job and be able to take care of themselves and their families. I mean, it's a buyer's market. You can negotiate salaries pretty well. You know, people are buying stuff. I'm in sales. Like, I think I told you guys before, I sell medical equipment to hospitals. And I mean, people are buying stuff. You know, the economy is chugging along, and it's just so hard for me. Well, it's actually kind of funny to watch,
you know,
the media try and cover it as if Trump's got nothing to do with it.
All I can think about is how you're in San Diego, and I've got a better line with you than I did with Benedict in Limpopo. Isn't that bizarre? All right, no, to your point, though, I mean, Simon is a terrific analyst, and I always have huge respect for the fact that he knows Africa probably better than almost any other journalist in South Africa. And by almost, I mean, I don't know if there are any others, but I certainly haven't encountered them. When it comes to the U.S., it just occurs to me that so many people in the media and so many really well-meaning people in my own life who are friends of mine, who I respect, and the kind of people I like talking about the news with. I had lunch with a friend the other day, and they just don't want to see – they hate Trump so much. They're so blinded by the fact that he's such an awful man, and he is. He's a narcissist, and he's got the weird hair, and you know, he treats women like objects and all that stuff. But they cannot separate that from the fact that he's actually doing a lot of incredible stuff. They don't seem to be able to put the two together.
Yeah, I mean it's confounding, and especially living in California, there's always some kind of rally, you know, somewhere around San Diego, Orange County, you go to Los Angeles, people are rallying against him, and you ask them, you know, how's work going, you know, how hard has it been to find a job, and they refuse to answer the question, and they'll credit Obama. Obama did a lot of good.
He's a sexist. He's a racist. He's a right wing Nazi.
That's all they tell you.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you something else.
You know, it's hard. I know I'm preaching to the choir on this one, but I just thought I'd say, you know, Simon's awesome. I love his coverage, but he was dead wrong on that one.
Well, I mean, I also found it bizarre that he said we don't care about Melania Trump being in Africa. I thought that's a bit of a dead giveaway, and that tells you a lot about the Mail and Guardian, and I don't mean to paint Simon into a corner here, because I've heard this from a lot of journalists. Oh, we don't care about Melania. She's just a model. She's just the first lady with nothing between her ears. She's Donald's accessory. They're very demeaning about her. If you said that about a woman like Michelle Obama, you would be torn to pieces by people who'd say she's...
Yeah, and it seems to just be something... It's just accepted at this point in the media to demean, you know, women that are on the right. I mean, even if you look at Trump's... what's her name? That lady. She's this lady that she
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
No, the other spokeswoman, very very well spoken lady, but she ran the campaign.
Are you saying Sarah Huckabee Sanders does not speak well and does not have a point to make?
Oh man, I can't believe it. Her name evades me, but she was the first female campaign manager to win a U.S. election.
Oh,
presidential
I know who
election.
You're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't remember her name either, but she's that blonde lady.
Yeah, but she got no credit for it whatsoever in any kind of media. No. And it's, you know, I mean, it's sort of accepted to demean women on the right. And
by
that's,
the way,
that's just the way it is.
You know that spokeswoman you're talking about? Well, she was the campaign manager, and I will remember her name in a minute. But her husband is a major Democrat. You know that?
Oh, big time.
And
big time, yeah.
And he hates
Donald
Trump.
There's a lot of controversy.
So weird.
People thought like she was planted by the Democrats for a long time, but she's proven otherwise.
Yeah, her name was, oh God, I cannot remember now.
It'll come.
Drive me crazy. Anyway, so yeah, dude, listen, I always appreciate your calls from San Diego. I see lots of stuff going on with you on social media as well. Hope you're ready for the week.
Kellyanne Conway.
How's your golf game? How's your golf game going, Simba? I haven't seen too much of that recently.
Ben, I broke my fucking finger in April. Oh, I haven't played since.
No.
I won't even tell you how. It's embarrassing. But yeah.
All right.
So I haven't been playing golf, but I've been watching your coverage, and you guys are awesome as always. Keep doing what you're doing. Thanks, Leanne, you are amazing. You're freaking hilarious. Great addition to the show. Please stay on as long as possible.
Thank you.
There we are. All right. Well, we've got some good news. Because
Kellyanne Conway, by the
Kelly,
way.
Kelly, thank you. Oh, I can't believe I forgot. Clinical
analysis. Yes, I'm Gwenny with that.
Kellyanne Conway, thank you.
And very quick on the Googler as well.
Anyway, yes, you're going to get a lot more of Leanne, especially in the next couple of days, because I am away from Thursday.
Where are you
sorry,
off to?
I'm leaving on Thursday afternoon, so I won't be here for Friday's show. New York City.
You're leaving.
Last time I was in New York, Trump was elected president.
Gosh, maybe you can make a big change again like you did.
Well, a lot of people are hoping, Leanne.
Well, guys, I'm not going to be here on Thursday.
Ah.
And I'm here for a short time on Wednesday.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, anyone else want to put in some leave while we're talking?
I won't be here on Friday.
I just want to throw this last little bit in.
Where are you going on Friday?
He's got work to do. He's got a big campaign we're busy
Are you going with Gareth to New York?
No.
All right, listen. The point is, Leanne's going to be looking after you a lot of the time. Nola's here. Ben will be here in and out, and Sia will be looking after you. But I'll be checking in from New York as well, because it's like midnight over there when we start the show. So on some nights, I'm sure I'll be able to chime in with something. But while we're on America, because I know there are lots of other stories, Alyssa Milano was quite a big fixture during these Kavanaugh hearings. She's become something of an activist. She was sitting... very close behind Kavanaugh during the hearings. She's obviously was opposed to his appointment. But it's funny because she was saying that Bill Clinton was her bae for the longest time. She was a major fan of Bill Clinton. And now she suddenly changed her tune because, you know, Bill Clinton obviously had rape allegations against him. And so here's her on CNN talking about how she's done 180 degrees.
But everything's at stake right now, and I want to remind everybody that this was...
I want to remind everybody, Alyssa Milano was the little girl in Who's the Boss?
Yeah. Who's the Boss?
See, there we go.
And then she did that show, Charmed.
I remember her from Charmed.
Okay, that's all that... You know, couldn't Alyssa Milano have just done what a lot of other child stars did and just take a lot of drugs and disappear into the sunset? Is that asking too much? But here she is. She's not an activist.
A candidate that was a bad choice even before the allegations came out. Kavanaugh has proven from his writings and his rulings that he was anti-women's freedom of choice, anti-immigration, anti-LGBTQ community, anti-environment. The only thing he seems to be for is the Second Amendment, and that was proven by the amount of millions of dollars the NRA put behind him.
You are a fan of Bill Clinton, and he is somebody who the right is pointing to now as, hey, just because they're ugly allegations doesn't mean the whole man's life should be based on it, especially when you can't prove them. Look at Bill Clinton. He was accused of a lot of ugly things. Some of it he had to admit. And yet people were fine with him and saying you have to judge him by more than him at his worst. Should Kavanaugh get the same benefit of the doubt?
No, and I don't think Bill Clinton should have gotten that benefit of the doubt in hindsight.
Really?
I think that as a nation, we were in a different time. I think that women were continually being silenced. And I think we gave him the benefit of the doubt, and we probably should have investigated the allegations against him as well.
So when it comes to you, it's fine to think about the world as being in a different time. Hindsight's 2020. We should have given the benefit of the doubt to the women. But you used to be a big Bill Clinton supporter. So when it's you, you're very understanding about changing your mind. But when it's someone else, like let's say Judge Kavanaugh, then you know he's a bad man because of what he did 36 years ago.
Yeah, but like she says as well, we were in a different mindset back way back then during the Bill Clinton saga. And
I used to really like her on Who's the Boss. That's all I'm going to say. All right. There's some other stuff going on that we want to tell you about this morning. So let's get to this. First of all, Leanne Moll's got a story about this place where the strangest things happen.
Well, that sounds like a plot from Charmed with Alyssa Milano.
A discovery has been made that is truly astounding.
Yes. Still sounds like Charmed.
One that could have untold significance for every one of us. Not only that, it's a totally engrossing mystery too.
Ooh.
It's about a family that shouldn't exist. Family like no other.
Yes.
They could just be the missing link between man and ape.
Oh my God.
The holy grail that scientists have sought for generations.
Oh.
They are living, breathing men and women, but they walk on all fours.
Oh my God, tell us more.
Just as we did 4 million years ago.
You're kidding.
And until this film that I saw on 60 Minutes, until it was shot, this family had been hidden away unseen by the outside world.
Stop.
So it's a remote village in Turkey.
Yes.
And it's an extraordinary family that lives there. Just this one family that they could rewrite the evolution textbooks.
Do they have short legs?
Creepy as hell.
So, Ben, exactly what you have asked. You're wondering what they look like when they walk like this. If you look at a chimpanzee, for instance, they've got short legs and long arms.
Yeah.
So their heads are above their bums, basically, right?
Uh-huh.
These are human dimensions, so they've got long legs and shorter arms, the same as we do. But when they crawl on all fours, their bums are higher than their heads.
And they don't walk on their back legs. They don't ever walk on their back legs.
No.
This just looks stupid. This is like that circus act that didn't get a lot of reviews, like good ones, so they just got banished.
It is very creepy. The fact is that their hands are flat like feet when they walk on them.
They actually walk on the heel of their hands. Their fingers don't touch, or especially on a rough terrain. They don't lay down their fingers. They do protect their fingers. So it's a family of, I think, eight. Problem number one is that the parents are second cousins.
Oh. Okay.
We should have started.
All right. Okay.
So of the, I think, six children that they have, four of them walk. They never ever, because babies start off like that before they or in between the crawling stage and the walking stage, mm-hmm. they lift their knees off the ground, and that's how they walk around a bit, using their hands and feet. They never evolved beyond that. And scientists are saying this could be the missing link, because there is a missing link between ape and human that scientists have not been able to figure out yet. And it's all in the walking.
Hmm.
So they are mentally challenged as well.
Ah, okay.
The entire family?
Lot of
six
them.
Kids.
Okay.
Sorry, the four kids, the ones that walk like that. So scientists have been doing hundreds of tests on them. I mean, they got pulled out of this remote village and they were put into hospitals and they had to do MRI scans. And you see them screaming like literally animals, trying to go, being put into these machines. They don't know what's going on. So they underwent quite a few tests, and it doesn't prove that there is a missing link.
No, well, if there was
they've never found that they didn't fill the missing link.
If there was a missing link, it would have died out probably at some point in the last couple of million years. So that's highly unlikely, or at least a couple of hundred thousand years. So that's a bit of a stretch, but it is a bizarre and very peculiar way to behave.
And how do they sleep?
Feet up in the air on their backs.
So they never stand.
No, and that's one of the things, is that because they're such a remote village, no one ever helped them get beyond that point. You know, if it was someone in our society these days, in the way that we live, we would have sent them for physio and you know, got them to get past that point.
Do they sniff each other's assholes?
Well, if there's a bit of a traffic backlog, then they will. So now these scientists have put these walking rail bars, and they're trying to help them walk up straight.
Huh.
After years and or months, they're starting to walk upright again.
Oh.
But, I mean, they look very, very different to what we're used to seeing.
Their hands are shaped differently, actually.
Yeah, they are.
Nolo, you wanted to say something?
I find the story very fascinating because my mom told me that when I was young, and I started crawling. I never crawled on all fours. My knees would be up and I would literally be doing this.
Like a spider.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm terrified of spiders.
So instead of being on your knees and crawling like a baby.
Yeah, but I mean, it's normal for children to find intermediary steps between dragging themselves around on their arms and
But they get past that point.
Yeah, yeah. These guys clearly didn't. How very odd.
And I have so many questions. Oof. When did the parents start doing this? It's one thing for the kids to grow up in this situation because this is all they know. When did the parents do this?
It's very strange.
How do you cook? How do you move around in society? How do you sleep? Odd.
It's very strange. All right. There are other things going on too. I thought this might amuse you somewhat. Joe Rogan, who we often refer to because of his podcast show, he's also a commentator at the UFC. There's a guy called Derek Lewis. He's a big dude who took off his pants during his fight. He took off his pants. So Joe Rogan asks him afterwards, hey, Derek, why did you take off your pants? And his answer is the best answer I've ever heard. Listen to this. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Herb Dean has called a stop to this contest at 4 minutes.
He's wearing just his underwear.
Of the third round.
Derek, big man.
All
right, so Derek wins, but he's not wearing any pants. He's just got underwear on. So Joe Rogan comes up to interview him. Listen to this.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
What? I understand.
Do you want to hear it again? Derek, why did you take off your pants? His answer is the best answer ever given by a sportsman. Listen.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
Oh.
His balls was hot. I understand.
My balls was hot.
And he says, I understand.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, what do you want him to say? Isn't that great?
Your balls are so hot, can't focus on the
fight. You've never had that?
Ever been on a plane and your balls feel hot and you just need to take off your pants?
Sure. My balls was hot. I think that's great.
He doesn't even smile or anything. He's just, my balls was hot.
All right. Well, the Mail and Guardian might not want to cover it, but we want to tell you about Melania's trip. So, Ass, what do you got for us?
Yeah. So, without sounding disparaging, as we were talking about earlier, it's not like that. Melania Trump came to Africa and mostly, this is what the press is saying, mostly just took a bunch of pictures holding babies. So it was, her trip was filled with sweet photos and well-received donations, but apparently nothing much more than that. The one thing that did happen, which was kind of exciting, was that she was almost pushed over. She got bumped by a baby elephant.
Oh.
And there's a picture of her standing there with the U.S. Secret Service agent behind her, steadying her after she got bumped by the baby. But otherwise, it's just these kind of sickly sweet photographs from Ghana, Malawi, Kenya, and Egypt. She visited the World Heritage Site. She danced with local school children, fed baby elephants, and posed for dozens of photos.
Well, she looks very good. I mean, you've got to remember, this woman has a background in looking good.
Well, being a model, yes. However, she did face criticism for wearing a colonial-style hat during a Kenyan safari.
What a bitch.
So, she was actually there. She was promoting her Be Best campaign, which focuses on children's well-being, as well as advocating against cyberbullying and drug use, which is what her campaign as First Lady is all about. Mm. And then she was asked about that hat by journalists.
A pith helmet.
A pith helmet, which is colonial gear. Sometimes people dress up in that as a joke.
It was worn by European explorers and imperial administrators in Africa, parts of Asia, and the Middle East.
That's right.
And then it later was adopted by military officers, and it became a symbol of status, but also oppression.
Do you think she knew?
A pith helmet.
She's done this before. She's made faux pas with what she wears.
Well, she wore that jacket that says, I don't care, when she was going to help the
I don't think she's fully aware. I really don't. I'm sorry.
Well, here she is talking about it. Listen to her in her own words, and then we can discuss it.
Role advising your husband. Some people interpret some of the decisions you've made, such as coming to Africa and some of your tweets, as a way of sort of not necessarily undermining, but poking at him a little bit, trying to influence him. Can you describe that?
Well, I don't always agree what he tweets. And I tell him that. I give him my honest opinion and honest advice. And sometimes he listens and sometimes he doesn't. But I have my own voice and my opinions. And it's very important for me that I express what I feel.
So sometimes you are trying to steer him maybe to be a little bit more polite in his public discourse and to maybe be a little bit more centered to some of his policies?
No, I tell him my opinions, what I believe, and maybe in some of them we don't, you know, maybe don't agree. He will do. I'm not elected, so he's the president.
She makes a good point. I'm not the one who was elected. He's the president.
Mm.
So, some might think that's a cop-out, but I get it, girl.
Well, also, she did say later on in this interview, and I don't want to play the whole thing because she's hard to understand, but the fact is, she said, why is it that you guys are talking about what I'm wearing? Like, you wouldn't do that. They've been asked not to do that at the Oscars, for example. Mm-hmm. They always ask the girls, what are you wearing? They always ask the guys, what are you thinking? Right? Mm-hmm, so, subtle sexism. But Melania wears the pith helmet. Everyone's so distracted by the pith helmet, they don't ask her what she's actually doing there. That's why people go, oh, well, she's just grandstanding. Because they're not even asking her. Like, she must have visited some important places. She must have done some important things. Mm. They don't just take the First Lady around for photos. Even if she just went to an orphanage, they don't ask about the orphans. They ask about the pith helmet. She said this is a kind of sexism. And I thought that was an interesting observation.
It's exactly... The media jumped to exactly that in reporting on her visit.
Look, what pissed me off is that she completely ruined Jeannie D's day in Cairo over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Oh, Jeannie D also in Cairo?
As you know, it's someone I hold dearly despite the fact she's blocked me on Twitter.
Yes.
But yeah, she was looking to go see the pyramids and the Sphinx, but it was all completely shut down because Melania was there.
Oh,
and there were snipers on every building around the nation's capital. And it made Jeannie D feel very uncomfortable, and I, for one, don't think this should ever happen.
Completely overshadowed.
No one's that important that you can just take over a whole city.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry, Jeannie. What an imposition.
And what does Donald Trump think about the whole thing? He tweeted earlier this week, "Our country's great First Lady Melania is doing really well in Africa. The people love her, and she loves them. It's a beautiful thing to see."
He really doesn't give a shit, does he?
No. Not at all.
Did you see
the comparisons of her and Michael Jackson over the weekend?
No.
Because when she visited Egypt, she wore, clearly a hat is the recurring theme here, this white, flat, white-brimmed hat, white-brimmed hat.
Are we talking about what she's wearing again?
I don't know. This blue shirt, this slim tie, and this white blazer jacket. And if you think about it, it's very similar to what Michael Jackson wore in the Smooth Criminal video.
Okay.
Just Google it for your own amusement. It really does look alike.
That's interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. There's Melania. That's a little bit of info on Melania being in Africa, because people wanted to know. So you may get out of the shower in the morning and towel dry your face. According to Leanne, that's not a good idea.
Well, that's what this one beauty blogger is saying. She says, you know, she has skin problems, and should we not be using a towel on our face when we dry our faces? Should we just let them air dry? You know, many argue that towels spread bacteria, and some may say air drying leaves skin clearer. What do the experts say? They say, look, towels are hotbeds of bacteria. If you've got...
That's true.
Now, I always use a body towel and then a face towel and a hair towel. And
you have three different towels?
Four.
Good Lord, you must have a lot of washing.
I can't bear the thought.
A body towel, a face towel,
that's so that my butt doesn't get onto my face.
Okay. Then what's the fourth one?
I use
hair
one.
Hair and hand.
I use one.
Oh, my word.
Go face first.
So if you have any... on any area of your body, a follicle infection, you could transfer them to your face. Okay.
Oh, no.
Drying your face and body with separate towels may be a good idea, as each hosts different bacteria. So your face has got different bacteria to your body.
Ooh.
Okay. But then another dermatologist is really skeptical. She says, I don't know why we suddenly now live in a world where we're scared of bacteria. People forget we actually have bacteria that naturally live on our skin's surface.
They say 40% of your gut in weight is just bacteria.
Wow.
Oh.
Yes, but they know they're good for you. They help you digest things. They've actually added value to our DNA over the years. Humans have evolved with bacteria. In other words, they are part of us. We are part of them.
I don't know why I'm getting itchy now.
I'm totally itchy all over.
All right. Okay.
So, yeah, the key is to wash your towels regularly. High temperatures. I put mine on 90. And that certainly kills everything, I'm sure. But
In the washing machine,
yeah. And also then tumble dry them.
90.
It makes it even...
I don't even know if my washing machine get... I don't know how to use my washing machine. That's an embarrassing admission.
I just press start.
Yeah.
Click some options. Clothes
should be done on 30 or 40. Linen and towels should be done on 90.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's what I'm doing wrong.
Boil them.
And should you... Boil them, Barry.
Boil them.
So, should you put something in there, like bleach or...
Well, it's not really necessary. The heat will do its job.
Okay. There's some bacteria that thrive in the upper hundreds.
Mm-hmm. And then if you do dry your face, dab it dry. Don't drag the towel across your face.
Rub your face with the towel.
Yeah. But letting it air dry is like, it's a mission. I really think people are a bit pedantic.
Okay. But they say air dry better than towel dry.
Yes, they do say that.
Air drying takes too long.
If you're going to sit around waiting for your face to dry.
You use four towels. I'm still stuck on that. Every time you shower a bath, it's four towels? And you put them straight into the wash?
No.
Use them a few times?
Like three or four times.
Have you ever mixed up your butt towel and your face towel?
Yeah,
never,
how do you differentiate?
Different colors.
I've got a
brown towels, blue towels, green towels.
You've got a set.
No, I've got a whole routine. Personally, I check my towels before I get into the shower. Check what... all of them, front and back, for spiders. Because I've had a rain spider in my hair towel before. Okay. So there's that routine. And then I pile them on in order of how I'm going to use them.
Okay. And so, which one's the first one to go on the body?
Body. Okay. No, in fact, sorry, hair.
Oh, hair towel first.
Yes. Face towel next. Body. Okay. And then the hand towels for washing hands at a later stage.
Okay. I think I can improve my towel hygiene just listening to you. I think I'm way too cavalier about this. Anybody else use four towels? Jesus.
Oh.
Sounds complicated, man. I thought I was
actually,
quite...
there are two others that I'd like to try.
Oh, Leanne. Okay.
One is one of those specific hair wrap towel thingies with a little button and a piece of elastic. Uh-huh. The other one is like a boob holder upper. So when you're getting ready and you're the type of girl who doesn't pass the pencil test, which is like me, you can get a bit of sweat going on before you put your bra on.
Betty Swallocks.
Yes, yes. So this hooks onto one boob, goes around the back of your neck and hooks onto the other, and it's made of toweling.
It's almost like a towel bra.
Yes, and it lifts them up while you do your hair and your makeup and whatever.
What a contraption.
I've got to get me one of those.
That's very exciting.
So like that'll that. Push it up to I can six imagine, different
I'm, just, times. I'm picturing Leanne with the towel in her hair and the boob bra towel and the body towel, which has now been discarded and is about to be boiled.
Oh, it's called the tata towel.
No, stuff.
That's yes, great. That's it. Okay, all right. Why not? A tata towel. Oh, look at that.
A towel for your tatas.
It's like a bikini top, but a towel.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, smart.
And there's no, they're not joined in the middle. It just it literally goes around
one
the
boob,
one boob.
Around the back of the neck. It's amazing. Onto the other boob.
That could be quite comfortable, I reckon, for a lot of girls. Much more
I would wear that at home, bars. Like all the time. I'd wear that in Brooks and, hey, presto. Stand in my garden and smoke and hope that no one sees me.
That's great.
And if they do, you've covered your tatas. That's fine.
it's the least you could do, right? Okay. Yeah. Sia, you wanted to throw some things in?
Well, I don't know how your weekend was as you wrap that up and you get the week started.
Wrap your tatas up.
Wrap your tatas and your weekend up. All right. But there was a family cruise ship in Australia that was hijacked by, let's just call them an unconventional group of pirates.
What?
A group of 1,300 guys thought this is the perfect situation to take over a cruise ship for someone's bachelor party. Imagine.
That's cool.
Cool for whom?
Well, for the bachelors.
Not for the rest of the
Not
people.
For everyone
else.
Of
them, it must have been hell.
They honestly hijacked and took over everything. This particular cruise ship is known to just appeal to families. So you have your grandmother there. You have young kids. They have great family activities on board.
And it's like when you go to a bar and there's a bunch of guys having a bachelor's. One of them is wearing like a Borat outfit. And then they all loud and like having shooters with each other. And
And so, Gareth, you just recently were on a cruise ship. You know how massive these things are. So that is when 1,300 people decided to hijack one of these cruise ships.
That is a big bachelor's party, man.
Massive. How do you even get 1,300 people? I don't even know that much. Like planning a family holiday with five people is enough of a mission. How do you coordinate 1,300 people
but also,
to all be
how
at
many,
the same place?
Are they Russians?
I know how many guys actually don't like going to these things.
Yeah. Well, I'll
tell
you what.
They secretly complain about going to them.
A very good friend of mine is getting married in December, and we're trying to – I'm not part of the organization committee on this, but there are three people who are. You cannot believe the back and forth that has been going on around this bachelor. And it's now a bachelor's weekend.
Yeah.
A night. We all have drinks together. It's not like he's never going to party again. And it's not like all of us who are going to his wedding aren't going to see him after the wedding.
Yeah, and a lot of people are actually combining the male and female parties.
Yeah.
I
think that's sensible. Mm. I mean, this idea that you're off to be married to someone that you don't even like, and that's the reason that you want to party now because you're never going to be able to party later. It's kind of ridiculous.
Mm.
Then why get married?
We're just following the Americans' traditions as usual.
Yeah, it's stupid. So they took over this whole cruise ship. Did they throw them off eventually?
Well, you were right, firstly, with that whole Borat outfit comparison, because this group came on, the girls were in little Playboy bunny outfits. Activities on the cruise ship had to be cancelled because, I mean, imagine little grandma taking her granddaughter for breakfast. Meanwhile, here comes Playboy Bunny in nothing but little tartar towels and bunny ears. So everything had to be cancelled because as well, the group were taking over things. They took over the dance floor. They took over the free buffet.
Yeah.
So these families were then locked up in their rooms the entire time to the point where they were actually harassing some of the families by filming on their phones. At the end of the day, now the cruise ship has had to apologize to these families and they've actually offered full refunds to everyone who came on saying, look, this was not our doing. We don't know how this happened. In total, there were 3,900 passengers on the ship. And yeah, 1,300 of them were part of this party. Imagine.
That's amazing.
You're going on this holiday, you want to just chill and relax, and here you go, this massive party going on. Yeah.
Well, you see, stay away from these people. All right, one piece of important news before we go.
Stay away from these people.
Stay away from them.
It's a plot line for the new Hangover movie.
So a couple of things that we've discussed this morning are ridiculous and silly, and some of them are pretty important, but this is probably the most important thing, and it's just breaking news right now. Nhlanhla Nene has asked... Sia, are you all right?
His uvula is swelling up.
Nhlanhla Nene, the Minister of Finance, has asked Cyril to relieve him of his duties. You know, the EFF was saying last week, Nene must be fired. We've got some dirt on Nene.
Yeah.
Well... turns out he does have some questionable things going on, like everyone in the ANC and everyone in politics. I don't think that's an unfair statement. It seems to me that the whole thing is just like a suppurating sore at the moment. And Nhlanhla Nene has asked to be relieved of his duties.
Right.
So straight away, he's shown he is above and beyond way better than the rest of these politicians. He's actually asking to step down, and he said sorry. Two qualities we are not seeing from any of these dipshits so far.
Correct. So I would like to say that I really hope, first of all, if he means to be let go of, then good for him, and I hope the president honors that. Who's next is the obvious follow-up question, and maybe it should be Lesetsha Kanyaho from the Reserve Bank, but what the hell do I know? Kabisi Jonas, maybe. You're going to be hard-pressed to find someone clean in the ANC to take the next finance minister job. Maybe it's someone from the past, like Trevor Manuel. I don't know. I'd like to know who they are putting on that shortlist. But wow, I have to commend this guy, even though I think we've been bullied again by the EFF into our government making decisions. And you've got to ask again, where's the real locus of power? Because if Cyril fires Nene, and it looks like it's because the EFF have pressured him to do so, doesn't that make them look powerful? If he goes, what does that mean about this downgrade that Selejo was telling us about just earlier?
Moody's
have got their report coming out at the end of this week. What if they decide to change our status and downgrade us to junk? Then all three ratings agencies have got us at junk. This could be the kind of thing that might make that happen. We're not in a strong position at the moment, where we can afford this, honestly. I wonder what's going to happen. But some serious news.
Yeah.
On an otherwise ridiculous Monday. Huh? Kind of crazy. So there we go. Lots of things for you to chew on today. Going to finish it up with the un-news this morning, and we will be back tomorrow, bright and early, 6 a.m. We've got a whole lot of other good stuff on cliffcentral.com coming up today. You can take a listen to, among other things,
we have an interview with Mikasa.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, that's interesting because they had the My Kitchen Rules final. Yesterday, right?
Yes, so I watched that.
Of course, Mikasa's Jay Something is the one judge on there. And they're, of course, more than South Africa's favorite band. Mainly, the three guys are extraordinarily dynamic, diverse in nature. We never get all three of them in the room at once, and we manage to do that.
Very nice.
Never happens. There's always one or two, or the other two, but it's never all three. We manage to get them all three into the studio at once. So it's quite a profound discussion. You get to hear about how it all actually works behind the scenes. All right, that's all we got time for today. Let's wrap it up with the un-news, and thank you for joining us. Here's what you need to know. South Africans are really starting to feel the effects of the latest petrol price increase. first 17 Rand a litre weekend saw a dramatic drop in vehicle usage, which socially could have far-reaching consequences when it comes to reproduction, says the social services expert department. If people don't migrate to different areas, they may never mix outside of their gene pools. And towns of Delmas and Springs, it's already shown that this is a very bad thing. The pressure is mounting for Nhlanhla to step down after admitting that he met with the Guptas, but never taking any money from them. He apparently even asked Cyril if he could step down, but Cyril is hesitant to let this take place. With a widespread lack of economic understanding in South African politics, Ramaphosa knows if Nene leaves, his options are basically Malusi Gigaba again or Des van Rooyen.
Oh, Jesus.
Jose Mourinho lives to fight another day. His team managed to snatch a 3-2 win against Newcastle after being 2-0 down. He says he doesn't fear losing his job, but like everyone else in the football world, he fears for the girls he had sex with back in 2008. See you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com